Welcome to episode 21 of Under the Holotable.
You might have been a proud warrior once, but now you're just a pawn in Dooku's game.
I wield great power, Jedi fool!
That power will only consume you.
A Holotable News Network podcast covering in-depth analysis, mods, tips, and the hottest topics from the Outer Rim. I am Voxen, and joining me on today's episode, we have Celiac, Let Them Die, Sarah.
How are you?
Doing quite well.
Oh, man.
So good to be back, Sarah. This is really great. And I am really, really excited for today's episode. We have the one and only Gridden from the Gridzy Sessions and his own YouTube channel and many other areas that we probably couldn't even have enough time to cover.
Welcome home, General. I'm afraid I must request your surrender.
But Grid, so glad to have you here to join us.
I'm super excited to be here, man. It was very flattering, and I still find it very flattering when anyone is like, dude, we're so excited to have you on. I'm just like, why? I'm nobody, dude. But thanks. You know, so I'm really excited. It was very flattering. I'm really excited to be here, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited to chat with you guys. And you guys make some awesome stuff. I love listening to the podcast. Sarah, I love checking out you got a bunch of videos and a whole bunch of awesome content too. So really, really excited and honored to be here with you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I've talked before on our podcast about how much I love, you know, spending my Friday nights. I tune into the Gridzy session.
Thank you.
You know, you guys get the warm up, get us like all tuned up, have all the fun. And then you go into like the classroom, you know, with Zareth, like, and yep. You guys like lead on in. And so it's just it's a real great, like 1-2 punch. I love that you guys kind of organized it like that. You know, that you guys give each other the grace of like the timings and everything.
Right.
And, yeah. Just such a great time. I love tuning into both those sessions and things, but to, you know, no one mentioned this on our Discord, but, and I'm sure all our listeners have been wondering, where is UTH? We've been off for a month. We've had some booking issues. Life happens. And we had to take some time off, but here we are. We are back. And in terms of life changes and life events, Sarah, you went and got hitched.
I did. I did something stupid. Just kidding. Just totally kidding.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny because I kept reaching out to you and be like, oh, I don't think I can do to UTH. And I'm like, good. Like, I am busy.
I think I can't do it this week, man.
Yeah, so I'd love to hear, you know, how it went and about your wedding. I assume it was Star Wars themed. I mean, no, I'm kidding.
It was actually, oh man, don't take my Star Wars badge. It was actually Harry Potter themed.
All right, you guys, look, I gotta go. I'm out of here.
Oh man. No, it was good. We hired like a company that just takes care of everything because I was like, I don't have the patience for this. I was like, I just want it small and I want you to do everything, like to the point that they're like, well, what do you want for your decor? I was like, do what you want. I don't care.
Go wild.
I literally showed up and then I went home. It's great. So
that sounds like a great way to do it.
Oh man. Honestly, I know so many people getting married. I'm like, you got to do it this way. It's just total peace of mind. But yeah, no, it was great. It was short. It was 5 hours. It was done by 8. I was home by 9. I was like, this is fantastic.
That is so nice.
Yeah. So it was awesome. We had a nice little, just like super small 50 people. And then, yeah, went home and everything's the same.
Okay.
I'm back at it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. At this point, it's really a technicality. You and
Travis,
you know, have been together a long time, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been together 3.5 years or something.
Oh, okay. So awesome. I still thought it was longer, but yeah. Congratulations all around, Sarah. I'm so happy for you.
That's super exciting.
And yeah, Travis. And I'm just thrilled that all of that went so well and hope you had a great time and, you know, got all your dancing in and had all of the Harry Potter fun.
Yeah, all the Harry Potter fun, and now we're back to Star Wars.
Did you guys go anywhere fun or do anything for a honeymoon?
We haven't yet. We're gonna go in June. Yeah. Just because, like, with Travis's schedule, it works better. Yeah. So we'll be gone for 2 weeks in June.
Awesome.
Yeah. And where are you headed for the honeymoon?
We're gonna go to Paris and Italy.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's really be cool. Excited.
I just want all the cheese and wine.
Right. Yeah. No croissants and no
But I found out that in Italy they have an app. The government made this app. It's like a GPS map thing, and it shows you all the gluten-free restaurants around you.
Like, awesome.
Sign me up.
Fantastic. Perfect.
Oh, so
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I love it. So okay. That's where I'll be in June.
That's awesome. Yeah, and also, you know, so there might be some hiccups to the HNN coverage in June. We'll see. I may do episodes on my own. Maybe Grid and I will just do an episode. Who knows?
There you go.
Yeah, just fill in.
Hey, if it's in June, we could, that's my birthday's in June.
Oh.
We do a little birthday podcast.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, birthday pod.
Yeah. Oh,
that's great. Yeah, so let's see. Yeah, just two beardy boys, a girl, and a podcast today. It's gonna be
one beardy boy. I love that.
It's gonna be a good one. So to start off on this episode, I want to talk about our next episode real quick. Listeners, we have reached our 1 year milestone. We have been doing UTH for a year. And if you're like me, if you have podcaster dreams, you just are waiting for that opportunity to come on, let your voice be heard, get your opinions out there, share your voice and your thoughts. Today is the day of that opportunity. The next episode for our 1 year anniversary, I want to do a community episode. I want to talk to our listeners. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to be able to bring you on. And so our next guest is you. Yes, you listening to this podcast right now. So I'm going to make a post after this episode, on our Discord channel once this, episode airs, and we'll go through all of the, mechanics of, you know, getting people scheduled, and just let us know, you know, in that channel, you know, that you want to be on and, you know, the topic that you want to discuss with us. And we're just going to bring each person on one by one, you know, no time crunch or anything. We'll just talk about whatever you want to talk about for a little bit, and we'll just kind of discuss the game and you know, any perspectives that you want to share for a little bit, and we'll just kind of go through anyone and everyone that wants to join us. Who knows, it might be a new record setting episode, but I just think it would be so fun to really get one-on-one with our community. We love you so much. We appreciate so much that you take the time to listen to us, and I think it would just be so much fun to get to hear what you have to say and talk to you and build an episode around you. So with that said, we can get started on this episode. I might bring up the pitch again at the end, just to make sure that we get as much interaction with it as we can. And again, yeah, so if you're not on the Discord, this is your chance now, you know, to get on the Discord so you can get in on this opportunity if you want to get on an episode of UTH. Grin, let's shift to you. You're the star here today. They're tomorrow. You're here today.
Bold claim there, Cotton. Let's see how it pans out.
I would like, you know, I don't even know. How did you like meet Heinze? How'd you hit your wagon to Heinze? Like, how'd that all start? You know, I mean, you two are really joined at the hip now. You guys do a ton of content together, and they, you know, made an entire Friday night around, you know, Gridden. So yeah, how, what was kind of that you like started with him, and then kind of all of the changes, you know, that that you guys have gone through?
Yeah, it's actually a fun story. So there's another content creator who you may have seen around here and there, either on YouTube or Twitch. His name is Wrangler.
Yep.
Small content creator, super awesome guy. Biggest personality like in the world. My goodness. And he's actually an IRL buddy. He lives nearby. And before I had done any content creation, like regularly, I made a couple of videos like 4 or 5 years ago, you know, and it was just like a whatever thing. But when I got into like trying to like regularly make content, I was hanging out with him one time and he goes, "Hey, have you ever talked to this guy, Heinze?" I was like, "No, I have no idea who that is. I didn't really know any content creators." And he goes, "I think you guys would jive well. Like, he's got a great, fun personality. You as well. I think you guys would kind of jive well." And so I sent him a message on Discord and I was just like, "Hey, let's, I don't know. I just, my friend told me to talk to you. So hi, here I am. Do you want to talk?" I didn't know what to do. I didn't really know what to do. And he was like, "Hey man, yeah. So I do this segment called Harpoons and Beer. And that's, you know, I do my GAC on that. And it'd be awesome to have you on sometime. And let's just have a couple of beers and see how it goes." And we did our first show. And I mean, it was just electric. It was so fun. And I remember it so vividly because everyone's making all these, you know, jokes like Australians drink so much and all this stuff. And so I'm like getting nervous. I'm like, I got to go get more alcohol. You guys, like, I got to keep up with these guys. And so like, I went out and I bought like a, I don't know, I think I bought like a 12 pack of beer and stuff. And I was like, I'm just, let's go. Let's just, whatever happens, whenever they drink, I'm going to drink and I'm just going to try and keep up. And I barely kept up, man. Like, I was losing it by the end of it. I was like, I have no idea what's going on here. And I was like, I'm never going to be invited back. This was just so stupid. Why did I do this? And halfway through the show, all these people are like, "Oh my goodness, this was super fun. You guys should do it again." And so I was like, "I mean, if you're down, I'd love to." And so he goes, "Yeah, let's do another show next week. That'd be awesome." And I was like, "Great. That sounds fantastic." And then the following week, we just did the same thing. And I just bought a bunch of beers. We started doing GAC. We goofed off. We drank. We laughed. We had fun. And somebody in the comment, sections at the time he was streaming on YouTube, and somebody goes, "I love this whole like Gridzy vibe that's going on here." And we're like,
"Oh!"
And we're like, "Do you guys like this? Like, do you guys want this to be like a regular thing?" And everyone's like, "Yeah, please. This was awesome." And then so I was just like, "Okay, I mean," and then after the stream ended, I was like, "Do you want to do this again?" And Heinze was like, "I'd love to, man. Let's get back together next Friday and let's just see if it works out." And just one Friday at a time, week by week, we're just like, "Do you want to drink again next week and do some GAC?" And like, "Let's go." Yeah. And so it was this very casual, yeah, just fun, just two guys hanging out, drinking and playing some GAC, just goofing off and having fun. So. It was a very casual start, but it is I have to ultimately credit my friend Wrangler to it because he introduced us. So
nice. That's really cool. Yeah. And I mean, you guys have gone on epic like escapades at this point, from shoes shots. Sometimes people way under the table and like, yep, they just like left those.
I will admit it. I have passed out once on stream. Ironically, that was on ladies' night and the martinis got to me.
Okay.
Halfway through.
But I saw the one after that where they're giving you a really hard time about.
Oh, they gave me the hardest time. Yeah. And that's where Llama started drawing. She would get mascara or something. Just draw a beard on. Okay. That's where that joke kind of came from because I was just gone. That was a crazy experience because halfway through I was having these martinis and I was like, "These things are delicious. You can't even taste the alcohol."
They're dangerous.
So dangerous. It tastes like mint ice cream. And next thing I know, someone's like, "Do you guys want to open a bottle of wine?" I was like, "Yeah." I had like one glass of wine. I was like, "I'm going to be right back." just fell over. Oh, that was bad. But I mean, it made for good memories. The shoeies. I mean, we put the shoeies out on the table.
Yeah. Yeah,
we put we put the shoeies out on the table for, I think the first one that we did was when we had the content creator matchup and we put a shoey on the line.
Okay.
And that was not good. Oh, that was disgusting. I know people make the joke now, like, oh, Grid, do a shoey. And I'm like, in case you guys don't know, I have not done one since then. I am not very interested in shoeys, man. That was so gross.
Yeah, I feel like they've dropped off a little bit. Weird that you know, they've dropped off.
I don't know why. I don't know. Yeah. I'm considering doing like shoeys from a flip-flop now. Just like... Oh, just cheesing my way through that, but yeah. And here we are almost 2 years later. Yeah, I can't even like...
Yeah, you guys have been doing it for, almost 2 years now. Yeah, incredible.
Almost 2 years every Friday.
I mean, just, I can't believe I've been doing this for a year, that we've been the year of UTHs, and just, I can have such an understanding and respect for anyone that has that type of longevity, you know.
Oh, it's so wild. Yeah. So wild. It just zooms by, man. No idea where the time has gone. And sometimes we just sit down and we think about that, like, because we don't get to talk like too much, just like one-on-one, you know, just me and Heinze. It's always normally about, you know, the show or something. But we sat down just the other weekend after the dev interview. Mm-hmm. And that was just wild. We just sat down and we're like, dude, we've almost been doing this for 2 years. Like, some people I don't know for 2 years, or like, you know, maintain a friendship with for 2 years. And like, we've been every single Friday night, apart from, you know, the, you know, rare occurrence here and there, 2 years straight. It's absolutely wild. So.
Yeah, and Friday night's like prime time, and it's just
fun.
The same thing I do every Friday night.
It's just such a good fun time. Just have some drinks, watch some GAC, watch some people make. See what happens, I guess.
That's great.
So yeah, that's kind of how. That's basically the story of how we met.
Yeah, I love that. Same thing, you know, Sarah and I talk a lot in the background on Discord, but, you know, the most we really interact is here on these episodes, and you form such a strong bond, you know, recording these episodes and getting to know one another, and it's really a special friendship, you know, it's so interesting. It's a friendship that exists outside of real life, you know. You go through so many different things together, so... That's enough sappy sentimental stuff. I thought we might touch on this just while we're being sappy. So Doja.
I'm a sentimental person.
Right. I think, you know, boy, Doja went out with the mic drop. I mean, just like doing like the road ahead and like doing like the developer stream with you guys. It just seemed like he kind of, you know, and like we got the Mace rework through him, and like, and then it's like out of nowhere, you guys, like, signing off, that's it. It's just kind of like he was everywhere and all at once, like he was signing off.
It's even funnier. I don't want to say funnier, but I guess ironic,
sarcastic, funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, he's on your stream with you guys, and you guys are like, oh, don't make this be the last one. Come back.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny not coming at the back. End. Yeah. Like, please, let's not this left. Let's get Doja on again. Yeah.
Dude, bro, Doja, if you at any point hear this, man, like, please still come back.
Right.
You are still welcome. Just come drink. We got the, legendary sound bite of Doja just dropping the, I don't care if it doesn't win.
Yeah, he got two in there because he said something else like just as good right after that too.
Yeah, is that, and then Crumb was the other one. Crumb dropped another one, and it was just, oh my goodness, it was so beautiful.
Like, let's burn that team.
Yeah, let's just burn that team. And I was like, oh, Heisey got chalked on that. It was so funny.
Oh, man.
I'm going to miss Doja so much, man. I had a really good opportunity to chat with him during the Speed GAC. Mm-hmm. We talked a bit, and it was really cool to see them and interact with them on a much more like, personal level rather than just a professional level.
Right.
It was really, and it's also really fun. Like, I'm a very, if I'm being totally honest, like I'm a pretty like kind of like semi unprofessional professional person. I'm very casual about, you know, my work. I absolutely love it and enjoy it, but I love wearing a good suit here and there, but I'm a pretty casual person. I like to be very real. And it was really cool to see them in that real setting. of when you could just like make a joke about something, or you could just mention something, or, you know, whatever it was. And there's, you know, I remember during the Speed GAC, someone mentioned something about, Mace, and somebody was just like, shut up. Mace is not getting a reword. Just like to have this like very casual conversation with these developers was so cool. And it was so awesome to see them. But Doja specifically, man, what a guy. I'm really going to miss him. I really appreciated it. It felt like he always brought kind of a fresh breath. I don't know. It's just like kind of a very real sort of feel. It felt like when I watched a lot of his stuff, and when he made some of the Road Ahead posts and whatnot, it just always seemed so real. I really appreciate that about him. And of course, in this last, you know, the Gridzy session, he complimented my hair. So I'll love him forever.
Well, and he watches your YouTube videos.
Yeah, dude, I lost him. Man.
I guess him and
him and Crumb. Lost him, man. I was like, I was just like, wait, you even know who I am? Like, what?
Like, what?
Like, yeah, dude, we know, you know, the jokes with your hair, and, you know, I watched the video for SLKR on the solo, and I was like, I mean, you could probably see, I mean, I know you were talking about rewatching it, and I rewatched it, and you can just see my face like, wait, really?
You really cried.
I got totally derailed for a second, because I just genuinely wasn't expecting that. And it was so cool for them to, I don't know, it was very cool and very nice of them to say stuff like that, but also to be just very real people. And it was cool. So I'm really going to miss him. That was an awesome post. That was a really cool final post of his. And I just wish him the absolute best wherever it is that he ends up. Dude's awesome.
Great.
Yeah. I think community managers are so important, you know, to players in this game. And, you know, we haven't had many of them. And, you know, they're really the only, you know, way we have interacting with, you know, the other side of, you know, the company that, you know, makes this game. So, it's, you know, we really do form a strong bond, love or hate, you know, with them.
It's a very strong, there's a strong dichotomy going on.
It's never in the middle, but so it was, just really, great. And so, I certainly wish him the best too. And he was great. I thought he did, you know, you have to have so much sympathy for these guys and like the position they're put in, you know, being, having to communicate these things because they don't always have all the information. And, you know, we're such rabid players and we want to know things. And, you know, a lot of times they can't tell us stuff. So they have to give like these non-answers sometimes, but
But they,
you know, we really just have to keep in mind that they are doing the absolute best that they can and that they care about us. That, and this is a great like segue into talking about our main topic today, which is, you know, the Gridzy session you guys had with the devs. Was that stream was such a feel good stream. It really like carried like an aspect of that interaction, kind of like you were saying, you got in the background of doing the Speed GA, you know, we really got that to feel like the care that they have for the community.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot of stuff, like if we're being honest, that they don't have to do. I mean, that the community wants them to do. Yes. That's a separate topic, but like ultimately a lot of times at the end of the day, as long as they push out a game and people play it, like, what more does somebody have to do? And I feel like they've really gone, especially like Crumb and the puzzles, Doja Fett, and we saw how they switched from, the progression, the development of that team and the community managers going from just, hey, here's a forum post, read it if you want, I guess, you know, just like a wall of text to like these personal videos, and now reaching out. I'm super grateful that it happened to be us, and it was an opportunity with us that they literally used content creators to announce stuff. I thought that was super cool. Like, not just like, oh, here's a leak for you guys, but like, we're gonna join you on the show and we're gonna talk about the Mace rework. And they, you know, helped orchestrate that whole thing. And we made it into this big whole thing to get Ram on there so that, you know, he would have no idea what was going on. That's why we invited a couple of people to make it look like just kind of a normal, like, Because if it was just developers and RAM, you're kind of like, something going on, you know, but like we tried to make it seem so normal and nobody leaked anything. So I was just 100% surprised. And I mean, that's a development of community managers that I think a lot of times, I don't know, a lot of members out there, a lot of players out there may not have, I don't know, maybe just like an understanding of how much stuff that they have been doing or trying to at least progress and better themselves as community managers. And Doja and Crum really did a good job on that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this last week, or was it now 2 weeks ago, hugely humbling experience to have them on. Crum is awesome. I've spent a lot of time talking to him, spent a lot of time working with him. Doja's super awesome, of course. And so it was just really fun to have them on in a kind of a more sort of like casual-ish vibe. To still maintain, you know, in essence, like what a Gridzy session is, to have ultimately two guys that are drinking some beer and talking, playing Swiggo. And so for them to come on and join that atmosphere is really cool. I think to see them in that, you know, semi more casual atmosphere is really cool. Mm-hmm. It was awesome to get, you know, so much feedback from the community on like how the development went, how the interview went. Organizing the whole thing. Oh my goodness. It was a very stressful and amazing week. So what a cool experience. I'd never, ever thought. I mean, we've had Crum on once before, but like this was another caliber. You know, this was just a different level of not just like Crum was on and we asked him some questions. I mean, this was a fully prepared interview. We had all these questions. We had the videos. We had the Mace rework. We had all of this stuff planned. And oh man, it was just another caliber of an interview. And I never thought I'd be a part of something like that when I started making content. And so everyone's, I still got to pinch myself. Be like, man, how did I, wow. Why am I here? Like, I still just like, don't really believe it sometimes. So super cool, super fun experience for sure.
Yeah. You definitely kept that vibe. Like you're saying, cause like even just watching it back, you can tell everyone's chill, relaxed. It's almost like just like six friends hanging out. Like that's the vibe that it was the whole time.
Yeah. Which I'm so glad to hear that because that's kind of what we want, you know, mm-hmm. We want this like to be, you know, like if, you know, on Friday nights, you're just like whatever television show you might like, you know, you sit down, you grab a drink and you watch it because it comes out every Friday or, you know, whatever it is. And so we just want it to be something that where you can just sit down and you could watch and you can enjoy it. You can laugh, you can have some fun. It looks like just some people who genuinely enjoy one another's company. I genuinely enjoy Heinz's company. Like we are trying so hard to have a meetup in person and do like a Gridzy session, you know, in person together. We just think it'd be absolutely wild. And I genuinely appreciate his friendship and I genuinely had a good time with Crum and Doja. And so I'm really glad that was the vibe that was received because that's kind of what we were shooting for.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you.
Isn't that crazy?
Very, very humbling experience. Thank you.
Isn't that crazy though, that like a game does that? Like when you think about it, you break it down at the end of the day, like,
I mean, yeah.
Your like, mobile game created all of this.
Yeah. I was hanging out with some friends the other day and they brought some of their friends. So people that I didn't know and, you know, everyone's just kind of talking and getting to know each other. And they're like, so what do you do? And I was like,
right.
You know, and I try and like, I'd be kind of vague about it. I'm like, oh, I'm a content creator on, you know, Twitch and YouTube. And they're like, what is that? Like, hang on. That's cool. And I'm like, you think that's cool? Oh, thanks. You know, and I get so excited and it still just blows my mind that, yeah, this game has managed to very literally change, you know, my life. The last 2 years has been very, very different than what I thought it was going to be. And my goodness, 16-year-old me would be super proud.
Well, so I was just going to say, these friends of friends, they weren't 12 years old, were they?
No, man, 13. No, my nephews look up to me though. My nephews are super cool.
There you go.
I haven't seen them for a while since I'm living away from them and I'm living away from my family. And I went home from for a family, you know, just get together. And one of my nephews was like, he was just kind of over in the corner, just like talking to my brother, you know, just kind of nudging him. And he's like, is that like, he does the YouTube stuff, right? And I was like, yeah, come talk to me. And it was so excited. And he like came over. He's like, dude, it's so cool. And he's talking about all this stuff. And like, he really likes Star Wars. And so he's talking to me about it. And he's like, I want to be a YouTuber. I was like, you go be a YouTuber. It was really cool. It baffles me. It's really fun though.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My dad asked me all the time. He's like, you still doing that podcast? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I can't believe you could possibly talk about a game for like that long, like week after week. Like, I don't get it. Yeah. And it's like, it really is credit to, you know, how complex this game is.
Oh my goodness.
Able to do these things. But yeah, these content creators, they have to walk such a fine line, you know, in all of these situations. And it was really nice that they kind of got to let their hair down. And I mean, Crumb's hair was magnificent.
Magnificent.
On that session. So I mean, that's worth the watch alone, quite frankly.
Alone, you can mute it.
Right. but yeah, it was just so genuine. And just like you were saying, you know, like on Friday nights, you know, you're tuning in to like watch your favorite show, but when you tune in to like watch the Gridzy session, you get to interact, you know, like you're a part of the chat, you're a part of the friend group, you know, like, and that's what's like so fun about, you know, when you are in that environment, you know, on a Friday night. So
yeah exactly. It's really cool just meeting other people, chatting with other people. I've developed a really awesome relationship with Cubs. And that one's more of like on a personal level. I mean, obviously he's a fantastic content creator and a really great person, but I mean, we've met up in person. I went out there and I stayed with him for a weekend and we made some content together and just hung out and went and saw some movies, you know, just like hung out as people. And I was like, you're super cool, man. Like, you know, I've developed actual friendships, which is, I don't know, a surprise to be sure, but a welcomed one. It's just really cool. So
yeah, so often with Cubs, speaking of him, like I'll have what I think is like this great idea, like the community episode, and then Cubs will like beat me to it because he creates content so much more regularly, you know. So it's like I had this idea for a while, and then just recently Cubs did a community episode, and it's actually kind of nice because he kind of showed me how like it can be done, you know. It's like, oh, this is great. It's like you stole my idea. Like when he started doing like the round tables and stuff, like I was working on like putting a round table together too, and it's just like, oh, again, like he got me. But again, it's just I love, those are like my favorite things that he does, you know. And
yeah,
I love when he does those. I can't watch those fast enough when he does around.
Yeah, for sure,
with like those guilds. So back to the Gridzy session a little bit. Yep. I mean,
absolutely,
so much fun getting to watch you guys. And of course, you guys knew the Mace rework was coming, what, a week in advance, it sounds like? You had to be tight about it, like, for an entire week, like, before the site. That would be so hard to, like, keep a lid on.
Oh, my goodness.
Especially knowing, especially building up to it, you know? And there's an aspect to it as well where the community, where that session really exemplified an area where the community is what makes this game special, you know, and it's not even like as a whole, it's like one person can make this community special, because basically that whole thing was really built around Rambam for the most part, you know. And, you know, seeing his genuine reaction and how much it meant to him is like something we can all relate to. And it was so special to you guys on there, the devs on there, everyone watching, you know, it was so cool.
Yeah. I mean, you too can, you know, bully the developers into reworking your favorite character. We'll start a, you know, hashtag make cup great again, you know, just, it was insanely cool. I've only been privy to that a handful of times of you know, some insider information, and you know, I did a sponsored video with Google, and so I was working with Google and Google Play with CG to make videos about Swiggo, and so that was around the time with, you know, Dash and Kyle Katarn and Starkiller and all that, and oh my goodness, that pushes the mental limits when somebody's just like, nothing's coming soon, this is lame. And you're just like, yep,
Yeah, that sucks.
Oh, this is such a bummer, you know. And then, you know, people are making jokes about like whatever with Mace and not being able to work, and or you know, Mace being a you know poor character or poorly designed or whatever it is. And you're just like, I'm just going along. You just have to like go along with the normal jokes. Like you can't let anything just kind of like slip or leak or whatever it is. And so you're just like, yeah, Mace sucks. Yeah, sorry, Ram. Never happening, my guy. You Never. Know, like. Even like in the, you know, right before the Gridzy session started, we were all still talking and, you know, just very sarcastically lighthearted. Someone was like, so Mace, and I was like, shut up. and it's super funny. It was so cool. And I mean, what a like convincing way for them to be able to say like, yeah, no, we're definitely listening. Like, we know what you guys are saying. There's stuff that like we can't do. And I'm not a CG apologist. Like anybody who watches my stuff know that I rant about this and that's here and there with some of the stuff with the game, but like that is and something that I would hope a lot of people understand is there is a difference between like Doja Fett the person and CG as a company. Those are different things, and I hate strongly. I confidently use that word. I very strongly dislike. Borderline hate when people confuse those things, because these are people. They're people. They're just people, man. And there's so much stuff going on that we have no idea about. They're just doing the best that they can. And so it's really cool to see you know, them come together. They get the community involved. They're listening to the community and they say, hey, here's something you guys have been talking about and asking about. And we're going to do it in a really cool, fun, awesome way. And we're going to get the number one Mace supporter in the world, Ram, on here for it as well. We're going to get the developers out there to talk to you guys. We're going to make this awesome video. We're going to let you guys make the video and get the community involved, because whenever anybody talks about Swigga, the community always gets mentioned as a very, you know, redeeming factor within the whole, you know, Swigga experience. So many people say like, I just love the community. I love hanging out with people on Discord. And I mean, I've made friendships, like personal friendships with people. I've met up with people. And it's just, yeah, game changer. And so it was really cool to see them make such a cool deal out of this and where they could go from there. You know, what other cool, fun stuff are they going to, how else are they going to be developing ways that they interact with the community? And, you know, what's next thing on the horizon? What are they going to be looking at next, or reworks or new characters that are coming out and all this cool, fun stuff. So it's really cool how they did that and showed that they're actually listening to people.
Mm-hmm. I like that you said it's important to differentiate between them, because so many people forget that. Like that's,
yeah.
I always like crack jokes. I'm like, oh, CG should hire me. I'm like, I actually could not like do the community manager job, because I'd be like, please stop yelling at me.
Yeah. Like, all right, and period, let's post this bad boy. Downvotes. And you're like, oh god.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean you don't like me? You don't like it.
Why?
But I gave you stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, there it's always, I would hugely appreciate anybody who is listening to this, you guys, please like try and make a different a separation between people and a company. It's different. It's just different. And these are great people. I would love to go, you know, take Doja or Crumb out for a beer sometime and just hang out and talk. They're nice people.
Yeah, they get so much flack, and I really feel like this episode for me in particular, for me personally in particular, was like a turning point in terms of, you know, that understanding that they're listening. I mean, I know that they're like on the event Discord all the time, and I know that they're reading Reddit, you know, I mean, I know they're out there, but then there's like a disconnect as me as a player, you know, when I see, you know, their communication and I see, you know, what we're dealing with on a daily basis in the game, but then to watch interaction like that, you know, which really brings it home, you know, what the reality is on a daily basis. They are listening. Yeah. They care about the players. They're doing the best they can, and that they're genuine people, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, I don't feel like I necessarily trash them. I mean, I'm sure I've been upset at something they've said before, but
I mean, that's fine. That's normal, you know?
But now it's like, I really do need to take those thoughts with a grain of salt. I do feel like whatever shift it is subtle that I might not be able to articulate, a shift certainly occurred watching that episode that was super important. And it just conveys, I don't think any player can watch that and not, you know, get that sentiment that came across from the stream. So,
and it's okay for those things to coexist. Like
totally.
I have massive respect for the people, Doja, Rum, so on and so forth. And I can be upset that something in the game isn't happening or whatever, you know, like I can be unhappy with things in the game and happy with the people who are making said things in the game. I mean, Doge and Crumb are, you know, they're community managers, but like those could coexist. You can enjoy the people and still have, you know, a little bit of dissatisfaction or unhappiness, whatever you want to call it, with some aspects of the game. That's okay. Don't take your frustration with a thing and embody it in a person that has nothing to do with the thing. Like, right, come on, right. They're cool people. And so, yeah, they're doing the best that they can. And I think they did a very good job of, you know, some people on the interview there after the interview, I, you know, saw some comments on, you know, Reddit and YouTubes and stuff like that of, you know, talking about this or that, you know, some people are like, we got some non-answers in there and we got some cool stuff in there. And you're like, yeah, I mean, just because they're coming on our show doesn't mean they're also gonna be like, so six month plan, we're gonna tell you all, here's all the reworks that are coming, here's all the characters that are, no, I mean, they're not gonna say that stuff, like calm down. But it's a good opportunity to talk about things and get a feel of where they're at with the game as well, and understand and talk to them as people. They're people.
I love that
we want to talk to them as people.
I love the moment on the episode where we're like, let's break this NDA. Let's break it wide open.
Yeah. Can we just, you know, that contract that you signed, can we just like, you know, just like get rid of that? Just rip that there bad boy up.
So many laugh out loud moments. Although you know, you did mention muting it. I recommend muting like the first 5 minutes. While the talk to text is on, it's a
little, my goodness.
The text to talk is a little much like as you guys are getting started. But yeah, once you guys take that off, it really gets rolling. So yeah, I'm sure that's a criticism you guys heard other places. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just so thankful that, yeah, you guys did take that off. And then, yeah, and then the stream really got rolling. And there are so many like laugh out loud moments. Like,
oh my goodness.
So, so good.
That's going to live. I mean, if it loses, I don't care. That is going to live forever.
Is that your favorite moment? Soundbite.
I mean, like, look, Mace is cool, but like the fact that I was like, hey guys, you know, right at the very end, and like, just, I mean, that wasn't planned. Like, we did not plan for them to do any battles for Heinze. We actually weren't even really going to do much GAC at all. It was mostly about the, the interview. Yeah. And I guess just with a little bit of alcohol, I kind of, you know, forgot that, like, oh yeah, we're not doing GAC at all. But I was like,
you guys went so long. You were like, no time for GA.
Yeah, no time for GAC. So like, you know, let's just call it a night. And I was like, what if we got Doja and Crom to do just one battle? That would be cool. And, you know, I thought it would be a fun idea. And I just threw it out right then. That's what that wasn't like, you know, pre-planned or anything. And then so, yeah.
Well, that part went so splendidly because it wasn't just like, oh, here's like an LV counter or something like that. It's like, no, let's test this Wampa Omicron.
Do whatever you want, man.
PM load, like, which is so appropriate for Heinze. I mean, it was just so good.
Yeah, we're just gonna burn this team.
I really didn't like, think
Heinze, I'm sorry.
We're gonna get that counter. I mean,
no, I didn't either. I was like,
it wasn't dazed or anything, but
yeah,
I was able to bring it back. But my favorite moment by far in that episode was after everything happens, Mace gets released, the dust settles, Rambam asks if the Endurance is gonna get a rework.
Yeah,
everyone's like, dude, give a man an inch. And he takes a mile. Just
dying.
Oh my God. Everyone's like, don't push your luck. What are you doing, man? You got Mace. take your W and leave it.
I had to like pause it. I was like, oh,
that was so funny. Yeah, those. Man, it's so hard. I mean, and a lot of that really is, it's hard to remember because I was just so in the moment of like what was going on and questions were flying around and all sorts of stuff was happening. But yeah, some very prominent memories. Definitely those quotes from Crum and Dozier was absolutely amazing. I love how nonchalant Dozier said it. He's just like, if it doesn't win, I don't care. I was like, I need to adopt this with my GAC. Yeah. I just need to adopt that mentality. Maybe with life, man. Just doesn't win, oh well.
It's great.
On a more serious emotional level, I love seeing the genuine surprise from Ram. Aww. And we're like, here you go, you guys. Mace got a rework. Literally cried.
I cried. Like,
it was beautiful.
Couldn't find words. I mean, it's it was so
just good. A big old smile on that face for like 5 minutes, you know. Mm-hmm. So cool. I loved it. And then back to more of, you know, the humor side of things. I thought that was so funny at the very end where he's just like, so like endurance, we're like, nope. Can you just cut him? Just send him home. We're not doing this.
Oh my god. Yeah,
that was so funny. So yeah, I'm sure there's even more highlights than that. It's hard to remember again, just being like there in it. I was trying so hard to be like a part of, you know, what was happening each individual moment. So I'm sure there's plenty of amazing other stuff that happened that if we watch on a rewatch, we could see some other really cool stuff. But those ones definitely stood out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does make me wonder, like, you know, we saw someone who loved General Grievous and that got the rework.
Yeah.
Someone who loved Mace and that got, I mean, real, the moral, as you mentioned, of the episode, it's a little dangerous. Bully the devs and you can get it's a little bit of a bad precedent they're setting. Granted, it takes years to occur, but
don't hold your breath.
Right, don't hold your breath. It may happen if you're persistent enough, you know, or the character, you know, deserves it, I think, is really the bottom line of that. So, you know, I just kind of makes me wonder, like, what's the next tune that's out there that, you know, like is deserving of that reward? And I was saying too, like, which I love that they brought up and they addressed the, we couldn't just Omicron, which when Omicrons were introduced, I was like, that was my biggest fear. Like, they're just going to get Mace and Omicron in, like, no, Mace deserves like the rework treatment. And it's just nice to know that with the biggest, I think, message that I appreciate is even now that the Omicron door is open, the rework door is still open.
Yes, it wasn't.
I wasn't sure if like Omicrons were just like, this is the new rework. We're never like reworking something again because we have this new this monetized mechanism, you know, that we can
for reworks. Yeah.
For reworks. And so, like, I really hope that is the message that, you know, we can still count on an occasional rework, you know, when it's deserved. I think there are probably still some tunes out there that deserve it, but, it's like, who is that champion that's like out there, you know, promoting it at this point? So I haven't been able to put my finger on it yet.
I would start. There's one person immediately that I would love to have a rework, and then a second one that I would like to see. I feel very deserving of a rework is Cad Bane. Cad Bane, especially what we've seen. And I mean, hey, if you haven't seen The Mandalorian at this point or Book of Boba, like, come on. But 100% Cad Bane, I think, absolutely deserves. Maybe you could even call it like a touch up. You know, right. I don't even know if necessarily I'd say like a drastic rework, but if you could give him one more ability, give him the flamethrower. So just give him another special ability, give him a flamethrower. I would tweak his unique a little bit as well. And I would probably give him some type of either a stacking damage or something. I'm trying to capture the dual aspect of Cad Bane. The majority of experiences that we have seen in Cad Bane recently, between even Bad Batch, Mandalorian, Book of Boba, is, oh my goodness,
That's exactly what I was going to say. There's so many iconic moments with him now that it would be appropriate if his kid represented, you know, his ability to fight the Jedi in, you know, Clone Wars, you know, his performance in Bad Batch, and of course what we've seen in The Mandalorian. Yeah.
I mean, the listeners can't see it, but I mean, I'm doing the dual stance, you know, like he just stands there with a gun and you're just like, oh, and then a tumbleweed rolls across and you're like, oh, things are happening. And I mean, in his duels, he has taken out Hunter, which is literally genetically modified to have reflexes of a god, you know, and he bested Hunter, bested Boba. Multiple times,
and he's gone toe to toe with GK and Anakin,
and the other guy was in there, Quinlan Vos, if I remember right. Another Jedi. He has gone toe to toe with at least three Jedi. Of course, I'm sure plenty others. He resisted Mace, GK, and Anakin trying to brain, trying to force mind him. I mean, and he is one of the only like documented cases that we know of somebody who's been able to dent Beskar. Boba's dent in his helmet is from Cad Bane. So I think if anybody, Cad Bane 100% deserves a little, even if it's just a touch up. I'd love to see his kit. I'd love to see a dual mechanic, something all not quite like Han's shoot first, but maybe Cad Bane starts in a dual stance and then his first move. So not like he takes a bonus turn, but his first move is a, you know, a dual blast of you can target whoever you want. It stuns them, maybe deals massive damage or something. I don't know. Just something cool to kind of capture Cad Bane. And especially, I mean, the flamethrower, dude. He went, all right, we're talking about all these people that he's gone toe-to-toe with. He went toe-to-toe with a Rancor. Like, come on, dude. You know, like, Cad Bane's awesome. And now his ship is incredibly important with the Executor lineup. I think that'd be very easy to throw a special ability, give him a little bit of a rework, maybe another unique, and bump up his stats a little bit. I think it'd be really awesome. And then another one would be Leia. I really think Leia deserves a little bit more love. She's just one of the OG female heroes of the Star Wars universe, stealing a whole bunch of hearts from a whole bunch of people. And she's an inspiration. She is, I mean, man, how do you even just mention Princess Leia? Princess Leia and Carrie Fisher. Like, I would like to see a version of Leia that's a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit more, you know, prominent or something. I don't know. General Leia Organa, maybe she gets brought in, but even if there's a little, I know she got that Omicron, but it's still kind of like, you know, okay. But I'd like to see a little bit more love given to our girl Leia. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah, with Leia, we'll probably get like a new one at some point. I would imagine they'd rather do a new one. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly a shame that we don't have like a definitive Leia, you know, in the game at this point. And really the OG one is the one that, should get the love, because that's like the most accurate representation of, you know, the best of Leia, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's debatable. But as you were saying that, I thought of a couple others that I don't know that could happen, like Lando Calrissian. I mean, the dude's got a cape.
He's got a cape,
and a mustache. He's cool as hell.
Yeah, what more you gotta say?
I feel like if we ever got like, I could see like Lando almost getting his own show, you know, like getting a mini series or something could be kind of cool. And like, I don't know if we get a new version of that, but I think the real answer for me, Kit Fisto. Like, he has one of the best episodes in all of Clone Wars. Like, that episode, he's like one of the most badass like Jedi of all of them. And it would be amazing if he, that would be my vote. In fact, I'm going to be the new Rambam. I'm just going to start messing
Kit Time Fisto to bully the developers.
All the time. Oh, every time. Every chat.
Are you going to take your Kit Fisto to Relic and everything? Just Relic 9 that bad boy?
If I want
to. You have to.
You'll have to at least minimum Relic 7.
Yeah. You're right. I got to get my kid to R7. Okay.
He doesn't have a bad, like, that is true. He doesn't even have, like, a bad kit. I mean, his basic has a chance to attack again. He has a pretty decent, 50% counter chance or something? 30%? A little bit of bonus offense, but he just, just hits with like a pool noodle.
Yeah, you know, it's a terrible kick. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he double taps because you just go from like 500 damage to like 750.
Like, not that we need more good Jedi, but he's certainly one that I feel would deserve some love. So
maybe people will underestimate it if you do it.
I had
someone message me in a Territory Wars last week, and he was like, why did you put Relic 8 on your BB-8? And I was like, for this exact reason. And then he messages me back, and he's like, yeah, so that was a really tough BB-8. So maybe if you just take him to Relic 7.
Yeah. You know? I love when there's just those kind of random investments. I mean, I love to have fun with the game, but I feel like I generally speaking sit a little bit more on like the technical side of things and trying to make stuff work and make kits work and, you know, put them together. But I absolutely love and adore when somebody can just do something fun with their roster. Mm-hmm. You know, you just take whatever, you're just like, I don't care. I'm going to take this person to Relic 7. And you're just like, you go, man. You 100% have my support. Relic 8 BB-8, yes, you go, Sarah.
Right?
You go. I love that.
Well,
Ram, so nobody likes Maze at Relic 7.
but Voxen, now no one will know that you've done it because Relic 7's not the top. It won't show up in game chat.
No, it's R9 or bust. Right.
Hang on, let's see if anybody. I'll just look it up here in the background while we're talking about stuff.
Yeah, does anyone have an R7, 8, or 9?
That would be.
I guess here. I have to reach out to them. That they're going to be. I have to get them on as a guest, I guess, and we're just going to have a Kit Fisto. All Kit Fisto.
I'm not seeing any.
While you're looking that up, Britt, are you going to go for LV? Just kind of a quick little personal question about your roster.
Yes, I will be. He's not my next goal per se. So I have just for a quick establishment for everyone, I'm at 7.8 million GP. I just got Rey as my fifth GL.
Nice.
Lord Vader is the only one that I don't have. And I mean, honestly, I have been doing GL farms.
You can probably do fine without him. Yeah.
Yeah. Nonstop. Since SLKR. SLKR and Rey came out, whatever that was. I farmed SLKR, went from SLKR to C to JML, JML to JMK. And now I've gone from JMK to Rey. So I've been nonstop farming GLs for a long time. And just frankly, it's exhausting. I mean, I've stopped for like, I got Executor. But there's not really too many teams that I've been able to build up on the side. Unless it's like for a GL farm, I haven't been really doing that too much. I mean, the Executor counts as a GL, let's be honest. So I was able to stop and go for that. But I just wanted a break, man. I just wanted a break from it. And so those Lord Vader requirements are steep.
Yeah.
Those have R8P it already.
I got R8P, thankfully, but I mean, there's so many R8 materials and there's so many characters that are R7 and R5. And I mean, we're talking like Tuskens and stuff. Oh, and I'm just like,
I have LV. Oh yeah.
So I'm preaching to the choir, man. You know,
I mean, it's nice Bad Batcher in there though, because they're worth it.
Yeah.
But that's a good point though, because when you think about it, when you break it down, you've been doing the Galactic Legend farm nonstop. It's been over 2 years of Galactic Legend farms.
I just want to work on someone I want to, right? You know, like I'm kind of tired. I know my roster might take a hit, but I'm pausing. I won't be going for Lord Vader just yet. I'm actually going for Starkiller. I know, of course, Starkiller is still a great character, but I'm going for Starkiller. And then after that, actually, I think I'm going to develop the BAM Scoundrels and the Iden Empire.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to, before going for Lord Vader, and I'm sure we can get into this a little bit more later on, maybe. We're getting close to another batch of GLs getting announced. It kind of feels like, you know, it's been a little bit of time since Lord Vader. So I feel like maybe within like 6 months or something, maybe still this year, I would guess maybe we get a hint at another Galactic Legend. I have no idea. And so part of me also just kind of wants to wait. You know, Lord Vader's great. He has his strong points. He has his weak points. We all know that very well. And so I'm kind of on the level of like, I'm going to go for some other people for a little bit. And if in a couple of months and I'm done with that, there's still nothing announced, then I'll probably circle back and go for Lord Vader. Mm-hmm. But if in that time frame another GL gets announced and the requirements aren't too insane, probably go for them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, you're like me. You're also rocking the 5-star executor, living that 5-star life, which is nice. Yeah. I don't. I have my team like clocked perfectly, so you know I'm pretty good. It's like just the rare occasion where my Razor Crest just gets obliterated. It's maybe like one in two or three where it just gets obliterated first turn, and then, or not first turn, but before, you know, I have a chance to for him to recover, and then that's just a loss. But other than that, like I'm just fine. I haven't really noticed any problems with that. And then it's so funny you say the BAM team. So like I have all six GLs, so it's just like, oh, you know, I'm going for Starkiller. That's the obvious next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, I have that Iden Omicron, and so definitely like she's doing what I need to with the gear 12 remaining, you know, troopers, which is just that team's so freaking good.
It's like, so fun,
far my favorite thing. And then you heard it here, definitely like I love the Iden Omicron, I recommend it. I was in the same place. I was just like, okay, like I'm kind of building these, but like I'm all caught up on like the requirements, and like I'm still can't quite put gear on Mara yet because like that's like that farm's still happening. So like I've actually got a window of downtime here. Like, what do I do? I actually brought up Quill and IG-11. Because I was just like, oh, you know, maybe I can get like the most bang for my buck just with these two characters, and then like I really want to work on the team with Dash, because that team is also really good. If you just get like a super fast Dash, you can like pull a really hard counter. But again, just it's too intensive, because right now it's like, oh, you're already like seeing the tea leaves, like, oh, I gotta start shifting to Inquisitors like now.
Yeah.
Because I have like five Inquisitors that I'm gonna have to probably take to like R5 or something, you know.
Yeah.
So
I have a very I know everyone hates Conquest, but I have a very big gut feeling that the next Conquest series will have Inquisitor feats.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I feel like they did something with Bad Batch, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like it was a similar thing.
They did. And so we're going to get a new set of feats in May. So the first 2 weeks of May, that'll be the new feats. We'll have, theoretically, the next marquee should be mid-April, probably mid-May for the fifth one. Grand Inquisitor is going to come out sometime when Kenobi's airing. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if we see like a win with four Inquisitors on your team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like, I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah.
And I mean, Inquisitor, shoot, like, maybe they're going to line up for another GL or be somehow involved with another GL. I have no idea. Obviously, I have no.
That's typically how it happens. We get a ton of our marquees, and then, you know, they kind of sparse those marquees out into, you know, whatever the next GL is to, you know, move those goalposts. So,
Bad Batch with, you know, Lord Vader. And-
Yep. Yeah, so that's kind of my expectation. So that'll be really interesting. That was really fun. And I guess that kind of leads us into discussing the road ahead. I mean, we're not doing great on time, but that's how we operate here.
Dude, I talk so much. I'm so sorry. I can just go and go, man.
So do we.
this is such a bad combo.
And I kind of want to like start this little segment here by giving CG like a pat on the back. Like, they are doing so good right now. Like, we are, I feel like the content, not content, the updates we're getting, like, they're catching up to like 2019, you know, like GAC, like, registration, gear, you know, easing, you know, like, a lot of this stuff, I feel like, we should have been seeing 2019-ish, it's like, just stuff on that, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that we're seeing it, it's happening now, and we're getting this dichotomy where we're getting reworks, quality of life, like upgrades, touch-ups, Omicrons, like all these things happening, and marquees, new releases, legendaries being named. You know, it's always like a one or the other with this game, and we're always making this like thing like, oh, would you rather like have this or this? Like, they don't have time for everything. And I feel like this is like the first time in the game where we're really feeling like all pistons kind of firing, you know, at once. We're getting like, so just kudos to them. Like, I'm just so pleased with the health of the game right now and just kind of where we're going and the communication we're getting and, you know, and just all the in-game interactions that we're seeing right now. So kudos to them. Even though, you know, I think some people have, you know, besmirched the road ahead just a little bit, just in, you know, the it maybe wasn't as long or as big as they wanted. But, you know, again, there's so the big picture is there's so much happening in this game right now.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can, you know, really hold that against the road ahead, you know, by any means. So,
And those are some really, really, I don't know. Sometimes I get a little frustrated when people are like, why wasn't it here already? And it's like, come on, man. Like, there are some changes that sometimes you're kind of just like, why wasn't that in the game? Like either in the first place or sooner, but it's like, I don't know, talking to myself, I'm like, why don't I go to the gym more? Why haven't I been doing this like as long? Like, I mean, come on. Like that's part of just life. You're learning. You know, there is absolutely no way for them to like predict all of these things and so much stuff and things that whether it would or would not be a frustration to people. Sometimes they could do something that they're like confident this is going to help everybody. And then like nobody cares. And then there's things where like, I mean, maybe this will just kind of like slide under the radar and people won't really care. And they're like, oh, my goodness, that was amazing. And you're like, so I thought the road ahead was amazing. I read it out on stream. I haven't finished my video on it, but I literally just like applauded so much stuff. I love the I love that kind of aspect of being able to auto set, you know, preset some of your defenses.
Yeah, let's just hold on that for a quick moment. Because I think, you know, and this is, you know, I'm going to be a hypocrite here for a moment because
sounds good.
I think that's a fine tool. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It seems like a half step to me. Like we already have loadouts, you know, and like the loadouts allow me so much more flexibility. Like if I want to build like an entire squad, squad templates. I'm sorry, let me clarify. Yeah. And you know, with squad templates, I can build one that's like, here's, you know, my defenses, should I be facing someone with less GLs, you know, here, you know, I can build as many as I want, like squad templates and things like that. And I feel like, sure, great, I guess I can build that there and I can mess with that there, but I feel like this is already a feature I already had and I don't want to like say, I would rather have seen fleet loadouts. And again, we know they're coming, we know they hear us, they know we want them. So I have no criticism in regards to that, really. But it seems like a half step in terms of an improvement. And big but here, I understand that what they're trying to do is alleviate the auto set, which is a huge problem, which, yeah, kudos to you. We got to solve the auto set problem. But maybe this is just like the first step in a longer journey to solving that problem. But I don't see anyone who's like, I mean, what's the percentage going to be of someone who's auto setting, who's going to like take the time to like create a defense here? I mean, that's the point. They don't want to take the time to like set a D or create a squad template. Like, so, I mean, are they going to do this? And then it's like, you know, the number of players that like I interact with, like on Discord, and like I jump into the game with them and they don't have like a single mod loadout, you know, it's just like, oh, it blows my mind. Like, and so, yeah, for like someone to go through the work of this. So I don't know, just, when I saw that, I'm just sharing my thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Valid here of like my you know, what my reaction to the GA defense setup.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's super fair. Like, again, there's going to be people who like care about it and people who don't. Me personally, I doubt I will. I will most likely have something set up. Well, all right. Confession time. I forgot to set my defenses today. Like today's first round of GAC, I totally spaced on it. I had so many appointments today and so much stuff that I do, and I was driving around and going from this to that, and 100% spaced on it. And so I think it's like a nice like safety net where you can just be like, at worst, here's a generic defense, you know, at mm-hmm. least I now have an opportunity to attack on offense. Probably still going to lose, but hey, it gives me something better than an auto set. It then also on the flip side creates problems, because if somebody in that 9 mil GP range or whatever decides to create whatever defense, but not play GAC, they're only going to drop to a certain, you know, level. There right. is, there will be a ceiling of people, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 million GP who don't want to play GAC, but now are not auto setting. So then it's even potentially more difficult for someone who is climbing through the ranks to run into them, because now they'll have a true defense and they won't be able to win. Or maybe, you know, it'll add a difficulty, I should say. And
that's
so,
a
I mean,
good
it's,
point.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's pros and cons to it for sure. I think it's kind of in the realm of skill rating. I like the step in the right direction, in my personal opinion, that skill rating was, but I hope it's not done. Right. And so I think a lot of these changes are, hey, this is a direction we're headed. We're going to start with this. Let's see how the feedback is. Let's see how the interaction is. Let's see what the community actually does with it. Let it simmer for a little bit. And then we'll figure out, are we done? Should we go somewhere next? Yeah. Should we, you know, because skill rating at first, you're like, this is a great idea. Like, I really liked it. I still do like it. But we're running into different issues of skill rating is kind of difficult to say when there's some things that aren't accounted for that have nothing to do with skills. You know, someone with 6 GLs goes against somebody with none. Might not matter how good you are. You might not be able to win that, you know, no matter what. And so I'm hoping the skill rating then, you know, develops into the next thing of accounting for certain types of characters. And so a lot of these quality of life updates, I hope, are kind of like that, where it's like, hey, here you go. This is really cool. You don't have to worry about lock. It's going to update. You don't have to wait until the last minute, which I did all the time. I'm like sitting there, like looking at the clock and I'm like, okay, go. Like, and then I update all my characters and I throw a Zeta somewhere and then I throw an Omicron over here and I level up these guys and I put some gear over here and I do whatever. And then boom, lock. And then, that's hopefully, you know, a lot of that stuff is now kind of going to be gone. And so it feels like a step in the right direction, but I hope they're not done taking steps.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said it best when you said, are you truly living if you're not signing up for GA with the last 30 seconds to go? Yeah. Also say that the matchmaking was the one place that I picked up on in the Gridzy stream with the devs that Crumb and or the devs might not actually have their finger on the pulse of that problem.
Yes.
Because you guys did bring it up. And you guys did bring it, and he was just kind of like, oh, well, but the solution is like built in. He was kind of like trying to alliterate, but it's like, no, you don't realize like at the lower levels, like, mm-hmm. like a wall is forming, like, and yeah. you know, and AP made a really good video about it because, you know, he's really going through it, you know, where, you know, he's winning by not setting defenses.
He's only putting down ships. Yep.
Yeah. And
only got to put down ships.
Be like an intended, you know, like consequence of your system necessarily. They can't be working as intended, but yeah. And it's really just to exemplify in an odd way, like the bigger issue that on the lower level, I think there needs to be a couple added criteria, you know, and you can't
yes,
just say
100%.
You have to rely. We're just going to keep relying on the system as it is to sort this problem out. So,
yeah,
which agreed. I don't necessarily think that he interpreted, or at least I didn't feel like he understood that, like when it was brought up. And then again, you guys were just trying to get to so much. So it's not like you can. Really
yeah.
So.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot of questions. So
yeah. And in regards to that, I mean, just to kind of touch, I do wish, you know, you guys only have so much time and all of it really was for the Mace rework, but there's so many good questions from in the chat. And it's just really sad that we didn't get to more of the good questions in the chat. And so, yeah. And again, you know, most of them probably would be non-answers. They either can't answer or whatever, but even still, there was just, you know, kudos to everyone who was in the chat and asking really good questions. And, you know, I feel for them, you know, that they didn't get addressed, but.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of those questions we do have, you know, the little bot picks them up.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of those questions get picked up and we hope, I mean, is what it is, but you know, we hope to have him back on another time and be able to throw out some of those questions.
I
mean,
so. I would love to make a pitch right now. Crumb, get on UTH. I will collect those questions and you know, or like, yeah, I want to build a episode.
10 out of 10 would recommend. So yeah, far been a great experience.
So yeah, I kind of cut you off there, but moving on to, I think, one of the other big topics that was in the road ahead, which still, I think, has not necessarily been communicated super clearly, but the GA lock, because on the dev stream, they said GA lock explicitly on the stream with you guys. All they said was the lock will not happen when you join. The lock will happen when the phase ends.
Yeah.
Like, full stop. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, that doesn't sound great. And then, you know, the solo base 15 actually did an amazing like breakdown of why that's terrible on the Monday episode. And so like he says it better than I'm not going to go into it. He says it way better than I ever could, and it doesn't matter because that's not the case. But even on the road ahead, they said it again, it won't like lock when you join, it will lock at the end of the whatever. And the only hint we have that that is not the case that's happening is the screenshot we have of a resave button. And I'm so glad they included that, because I would still be losing my mind like thinking the wrong thing, you know, when it looks like yes, it will like essentially lock your roster, you know, at the end of the phase, but you have control of locking your roster with the resave button. It's like,
yeah, at any moment.
Important like point to include in the communication of this feature. And we can't, you kind of have to read between the lines.
Yeah. I can only, you know, you sign up and you're like, all right, I'm good. And then you go do TB and you move all your mods and stuff. And it's like relock. And you're like, no. So yeah, that could be a nightmare, but I'm really excited about it. Yeah, just being able to, oh, you know what, this is good enough for now, so let's go ahead and lock. And then later on you're like, oh, you know, raid, I don't know, maybe a raid completes and it gives you a gear piece that you need, so then you're like, great, now I can level up this person, and boom, relock. You know, and oh, you know what, messing around with this team actually a little bit more, I want to throw that Zeta on there, throw Zeta, relock. So I got some question marks raised around it, but I'm excited about that one.
Or the accidental join. Now you can just, oh no, I hit the button.
All the time.
The amount of times, dude.
Oh, save. Right. So
I just want to review the event. Join.
Right. Because you only have like an hour. And if like you you lose track of time. Yeah, that happened a long time ago. It's like I avoid going into that section of the game at all.
Dude, I'm just like,
I'm ready to like play. Yeah.
Don't even look at it. Don't make eye contact. It senses fear.
No.
It senses your fear.
When that little pop-up reminder comes, like, hey, new GM started, I'm offended. I'm like, how dare you? I don't want it. Like, don't. And then, because it's like, hey, go over there now. It's like, oh, I'm not falling for it.
No. How dare you? You insult me.
I'll go over there when I'm ready. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so bad with notifications. If I clear them, like without handling it, with anything, like if you don't hear, if I don't answer you on Discord, it's because I cleared the notification and then I forgot about you.
Oh, I 100%.
It's the worst. It's the same in the game where like the pop-up comes into your inbox and it's like new thing. And I'm like, okay. And I clear it and then it pops up. I'm like, yeah, joy. And then I'm like, I'm in the middle of my TB battles. This was a terrible idea.
Oh no. Yeah.
It happened more than once.
Very guilty of that.
Yeah.
I'm very guilty of that.
Yeah. Like, okay. So we do not have any of the key characters modded. Yeah.
Well, I think this is a good point to point out, because I think, I can't remember if it was in the HNN Discord, but someone joined, you know, with their mods all messed up and they're like, hey, by the way, did that change happen? It's like, oh no, I'm sorry. Like that's the title update, which has not happened yet. As far as we know, we don't know an exact date, but the title update will happen once this GA finishes right before the next GA starts, essentially, is what they said. So
yeah,
keep an eye out for that. So sometime somewhere in that week, we'll get that title update where we'll should see. We don't really know what we'll get. If we're gonna get everything that was in the road ahead. Certainly we're gonna get the GA changes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. You know, maybe everything, we will get everything with that title update, but nothing that was in the road ahead except for Mace. So, you know, PSA to anyone who may have been confused, because it's like, oh my God, this is so amazing. Like, and it's, no, it's not in the game. So
sad.
Let's see, what else did I want to go next? Just a real quick touch on the screenshot of the GA, because everyone noticed the little 5v5 and the 3v3.
5v5, 3v3.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Those have like a little like red like icon on it. And
yeah,
I'm sure everyone was thinking, oh, 3v3 is coming back. I was thinking tinfoil hat time. What if, because the two buttons are there side by side, you can look like they were selectable. Would they run a 5v5 and a 3v3 at the same time?
Oh,
and you like 5v5.
I feel like that's too much.
3v3, no. Too much. It's too much. I 100% agree.
Oh, no.
I hope they never do it. But that's like when I saw, I was like, I don't like that these look like buttons.
Yeah. And that's actually, in case nobody saw it, the red dots that are there coordinate with incomplete territories. So if you look into it, there's now the red dots.
Red dots.
Yeah. And so if you look at the actual map on that screenshot, it shows, you know, the 5v5, there's the red circle next to every territory that's not complete, which I know has been something I have been guilty of, where I'm like three out of four and I forget.
Yeah.
So now we have these red dots that are going to be signifying that this territory is not full. You have, you know, another team or more that you can put in there. So I think that's really cool. Gives you a very clear indication that you need to at least put some more teams down. But yeah, 3v3. I mean, if that's confirmed, man, bro, they gotta respond to Starkiller.
Yes.
There's no way you're going to tell me I invest all this time and everything into Starkiller, who's literal kit is designed around five unique people.
Yep.
You have to. And you gave him
the most like exclusive resource in the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not, doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like at that point, you're going to be like, well, what do I do with Starkiller? Just throw him on whatever random team. Yeah, like,
we're not pulling anything out of the sky here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave it in the sky.
Yeah, that's his new ability. Leave it in the sky.
Leave it up there. You know, like the little part of the movie where he's like, you're insane, it's massive, you know? And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. Just leave it up there.
So they gotta address that. There's only two allies. Yes.
So. Yeah. So they gotta address that at some point. But that'll be interesting with 3v3.
Oh, great. that's good. We are getting let's see. So crafting gear, just to kind of call back to Sarah and I
wish listed this,
and we're getting it finally, crafting gear. And again, this is like just a quick call about, it doesn't need to be said, but it's like, yeah, this should have been released when the scavenger was released. But no, I'm happy we're getting it now. Thank you. Better late than never, right? So yeah, and it looks like we'll get what we obviously think you can craft gear in the scavenger. I like that you'll be able to see recipes, they said.
Yeah.
Because of the things that they added, they didn't just say like, hey, you get to craft gear here, which is like, okay, great, thanks. They had like other bullet points to this. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then you can like, which I think is something other people have said, like, can I favorite gear, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so it looks like, I don't know if that's going to be the case, but they said you can like prepare for character unlocks. So
yeah,
like it'll have like an in-game area where it's like, for a favorite character, I'll give you like the full gear breakdown, which we normally have to go to GG for. So I don't know what that'll look like, but all three of those bullet points, like, I was so excited for.
Yeah. But again, you know, kind of a little indicator that they're, you know, at least listening and, you know, have an understanding of people. They crack the joke, you know, about keeping Ugnaught favorited.
Yeah.
So you could pick up, you know, some of his, some of the gear off of that node. And yeah, I mean, I'm so glad that they did that finally. I hate going in and then like trying to find, like, okay, here's the thing that I need. So let me go find some character that has it. Then they go, okay, don't craft it. Now just farm it. Miserable. So really nice, solid quality of life update there. Again, I mean, is it something that should have been there originally? Yeah, why not? But I'm really happy it's here. Like, it doesn't change that I'm grateful for being here now. So that was a solid change. Yeah, I'm really happy about that. And they went, you know, an extra little leveler or two on it too. So I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sorry, I just wanted to give you a little time in case we're going to jump in.
No,
about how excited you are about this. Yeah,
I'm just excited for it because, like, I have so many characters. It's that exact thing where you have characters where you're like, okay, I can't take you past gear 8 because I can craft a holo on you, and I can't take you past gear 9. Like, it's just exactly, like, it should have been there, and it's great that it's coming. And also, it was such a easy and smart fix. Like, they didn't have to add anything to it. You already have the scavenger table in game. It's just, it's going to be like the arena table now, where you have all of your arenas. Now you're going to have your scavenger doing everything. Mm-hmm. I will say, I would like to uncraft gear. So if I get like a full stun gun and I just want the carbs from it, I should be able to take those carbs.
Yeah.
Sarah, you're pulling a Rambam here.
Sorry.
Maybe an inch, you took a mile.
Come on. You're getting the gear crafting. Isn't that enough?
You're pulling a Ram. That is amazing.
I just figured, you know, I asked for summonable assault battles. I got summonable assault battles. I asked for a gear crafter. I got a gear crafter. Can I get a gear uncrafted?
There we go.
Uncrafted. Yeah. Give an inch, take
it. That'd be cool.
Oh, gosh. We get it, Sarah. No, that's great. And, you know, not all of the gear is in the scavenger, so I don't know necessarily how that's going to work, if there's going to be, like, a new window or a new tab to the scavenger, because, you know, not all the gear is used in every level of the crafting thing. I mean, there's that one, like, gear 12 piece that looks like an atom that, like, everyone has a million of that, like, isn't used anywhere. So that piece isn't in the scavenger. So
I just assumed that we'd have two scavengers now.
Oh, okay.
That was just my assumption. We'd have one that'll let us smash it into relics and one that'll let us build it. Maybe we'll get a third.
That lets us uncraft it.
Uncraft. No, that's great. Hey, Sarah, save it for next year's wish list, all right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Write that down. No, that's great. So
Write that down. Yeah.
But that's very exciting. Yeah, I have to make a note to knock that off when we review for next year. So that's great. Really excited for that. Can't wait to see what that looks like. And I'm really happy for all of the, you know, 10 million players who have Relic 7 everything that can't craft
the holos.
The holo, yes. Yeah. Thank you. The holo projector to save their life. So good on them. The other consequence of, you know, them telling us that, hey, this is it, this is our road ahead, next one's in June.
Yep.
I don't expect a GO until June.
Yeah, at the earliest, really.
Really have, you know, an open window of, I guess, doing what you want, you know, prepping to some degree, you know. I'm sure they'll move the goalpost. They'll figure out a new way to move the goalposts on GLs beyond, like, whatever they've previously done. Mm-hmm. Since everyone will have time to prepare, you know, it's like everyone's going to have the energy saved up, you know, for those that do that. Everyone's going to have the gear and stuff saved up for those that do that. So I wonder if they'll, you know, figure out maybe a new way to kind of change up that requirement. But I think it's kind of exciting, you know. I think we all expected by February, like a new GL announcement. I was dreading that in like November, December. And so, yeah, you know, it's kind of exciting, like, to have a window where it's like, oh God, is this really happening? I get to work on like my own project.
Yeah, you could take a breather. Like, finally.
And granted, we have like Star, and they have thrown us, you know, half step projects to work on between Starkiller and we're getting so many marquees right now with the Inquisitors. You know, so we'll be working on those. But yeah, again, just like you were saying, you spend GL farm after GL farm. And so it's like, you know, either like now people have a chance to catch up, you know, or, you know, you get a little break.
Yeah. I really, really hope the next GL is, they established that, you know, solo GLs are one thing. GLs with a conquest counterpart are, you know, a separate thing. And man, I'm gonna be honest, I really hope they dial it back. I personally was not super happy with JMK and Lord Vader. I just had it in my mind that basically indefinitely GLs were always going to be in a rock, paper, scissors aspect.
Right.
And initially it very, very much was, you know, Rey had her thing at the beginning, but like, I don't know, you know, Rey's that's, you know, water under the bridge at this point, but you know, SOKR dominates C dominates JML. Ray's doing potato things over there and can kind of take care of whoever. And, you know, there was like this kind of rock, paper, scissors sort of aspect. And I personally was kind of bummed when JMK, you know, joined up. Well, not because of JMK. I was really excited about JMK, but that team was just, oh my, just the next level. I was like, I did not want a next level GL. I wanted all GLs to be in some way, shape, or form fine. This one beats this one, and you probably don't want to use this one against that one over there. But ultimately, you could kind of, you know, shimmy your way through whatever team comp it might be, either in a very weird way, or maybe you're just like, I'm not going to, you know, mess with that. So I really hope the next GL actually kind of goes back to like the CJML sort of era of here's a solid character. You can use them with a whole bunch of stuff. They're not going to take over the world, but they are just another really good option for you to have. I really kind of hope they go back there and don't even push the bar, man. Don't go like, oh, this person needs two Relic 9s or something. Just be like, hey, here's some more Relic 7s, maybe a Relic 8. Call it a day, you know? Yeah. Because then at that point, you would then also be gear locking some players out of it. You know, right now it's already difficult enough for a lot of people to get R7 sort of materials. Then R8s, you're already getting kind of pushed. Relic 9s is hard locked for a lot of, just literally, you just, your guild doesn't have the, you know, the GP, like, you're not getting it.
It's a tall bar, to get over to start earning that R9.
Yeah, so I hope they kind of dial it back a little bit and say, here's the next GL, and we'll give it one or two, you know, R8s top, but otherwise, you know, a whole bunch of Relic 7s and 5s and 3s and stuff like that. I think that'd be really cool, but... Mm-hmm. That's just me.
Yeah. I know when I saw that that list where they divided the Galactic Legends and the Galactic Legends with the Conquest counterpart, I was like, well, that's disappointing because now you're essentially saying these four are weaker. Mm-hmm. Like, so do they get a buddy? Like,
yeah. Do they get a buddy?
Get a Thunder buddy?
I mean, what if they do? You know, in the future, they, you know, future Conquest, maybe they'll be like, here's, what's his name? The general in what was his name? General Pride, was it? Mm-hmm. In Rise of Skywalker? Was that the general that was working with Emperor Palpatine? What was his name? Was it General Pride?
I can't remember.
I thought it was him. Maybe it wasn't, but whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah.
Like maybe in the future they release, some Conquest character that can then go with C or go with SLK or go with Rey or, you know, and lift them up another level, maybe in the future. I'd be okay with that. But right now, I don't like the division of GLs. It kind of bums me out.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think it's such an interesting line to draw as well, because, you know, they're basically saying like this GL is with a counterpart is better. And I do agree, JMK as a GL is better than the other four. And I just feel like Kat is give or take on his viability. His kit is so good.
I can gas him if there's no cat, gas and you're gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, without cat, you can gas JML or sorry, JMK.
Yeah.
It's a very, I mean, the common two shot strategy. You can use Aura Bounty Hunters, knock out cat, followed up with gas, call it a day. Even Bad Batch can actually sometimes win or at least put some serious damage into him.
Okay. Yeah. That's good clarification. So then it's like, I was talking about like Lord Vader, and then it's like, well, Lord Vader is
exactly
like not necessarily hitting the mark.
On no, Lord Vader and his counterpart.
Deal with, with the counterpart. Conquest.
I mean, his counterpart is better on his own. put Maul with some Mandalorians and you could beat GLs or at least be a really formidable team on defense, unless you got JTR Rose Omicron, baby.
No promoting Rose Omicron on this podcast. You're cut off.
Rose, great.
Come on, mute his mic.
Is where I edit.
Silence me. JL's kind of
I guess that was all I had for the road ahead. Did you guys have any other thoughts you wanted to share or topics you wanted to cover from on there? I mean, I think, you know, Mace rework, not much to be said. It is what am I talking about? No,
still terrible.
I do want to talk about the Mace rework because I have a hot take on the Mace rework. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Still trash.
No, but partially, listen, I understand this is probably like a part of the balancing, but they left like part of his kit still broken, essentially. I mean, one of the biggest complaints with him was like, you know, expose randomly pops on someone and then like he's not gonna, like he may not go for the person with that expose, you know, or you know, he has no control over who gets exposed. So that mechanic is still happening. You have no control over who gets Shatterpoint. And then in many cases, like Shatterpoint may not be the optimal play. Like I was testing Mace today and Kat had like a sliver of life and someone else had Shatterpoint and it's his turn. And it's like, well, okay, Kat has to die now. JMK is about to use his ult. Like, so again, this whole part of his kit is like pointless on this move, but I mean, again, that's the strategy of it. But then, you know, someone shared a screenshot where Mon Mothma got Shatterpoint. Well, great. That's worthless.
Yeah, you can't target her.
Right. Love that. So it's like, so again, it just, it just seems like, oh my God. What are you doing? Like, why did we leave this mechanic in his kit? Everything else randomness. Is home run for the most part. It's great. And then, you know, which I was testing today a little bit was I was thinking like, is there a way, like if I'm replacing GK on my team, if I'm replacing GK on my JMK team with
me. So many acronyms.
Right? Yeah. Like, will there be a case where, say JMK on his first move targets Mace and gives the cooldown reduction to Kat. Ahsoka clears off his defiance because it's dispellable, and then Kat annihilates my Kat. The good news is I have a report from my testing. The AI isn't smart enough to pull that like sequence off. Like they never necessarily like we're targeting my Mace on JMK's first move because Mace doesn't have to target the tank because JMK doesn't have to target the tank and like whatever. So it was still happening. Two things were happening with all my tests today, which was very little, but either Mace was assisting when I was targeting Kat and Kat got ability block. So I was actually able to like completely manage Kat so she couldn't get an ult because I just like kept ability blocking her and increasing her cooldowns. And I ended up with like five people at the end and it was like amazing. Like, hey, I'll take these three more banners, you know, in this matchup. Or it was still just happening that Kat was killing Mace because Mace's defiance wasn't being dispelled. So anyway, it's an interesting mechanic. And again, I don't know that we'll get another like AI tune up. I mean, thank God, like JMK's AI is hot garbage. But yeah, it's just, there's so many, you know, we're still piecing a lot of this together, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot more comps with Mace and kind of how his new kit will be interacting with all the various places people are going to be using him.
So I can say that happened to me the first time. I actually went in for a JMK mirror, and I was like, all right, let's save GK.
Yep.
And JMK called the assist, reset the cooldowns. Snips got called to assist, dispelled Mace's taunts, and then I got lucky. They whirlwinded the other Ahsoka. They whirlwinded Ahsoka Tano, not Snips.
Okay. Again, but, the AI like saves the day. But
it was so funny because I was like, well, let's see what Mace does, you guys. You know, this is the first, like, this is my first time using him. I was like, let's see what happens. And I started up and I was like, all right, let's go. And then I was like, I've been telling, like, I mean, at any point when somebody's like, can Mace replace, you know, GK in a JMK, and I was like, I always say, yeah, technically, but be aware there's a possibility now the way that his taunt works, and just for anybody, if you guys don't know, the way it is specifically is JMK, it's either his leader or unique, I think it's a leader, is all Galactic Republic tanks will taunt for two turns. And if they lose taunt, they gain it for another turn. And so that's why there's no way around GK or any Galactic Republic tank. And that's why people use like Plo Koon, Jedi Knight Guardian. Like, it doesn't matter. Any Galactic Republic tank will keep that taunt. But Mace specifically dispels his own taunt to gain that resilient defense, which, as you said, is a dispellable buff.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't like put two and two together. I was like, let's see what happens. And then I just watched the enemy cat just like just whirlwind my Ahsoka. And I was like, that was so close to being so bad. And so ever since then, I'm like, nope, Mace, you go somewhere else. You're not, unless you double tank it, which is a viable.
A lot of people are doing. A lot of people are double tanking.
The double tank is super viable.
Keeping GK in there. But yeah, I was just reading through that and I was like, this is,
I would have liked to see it a lock buff, maybe.
Right. Resilient defense.
Or a non-dispellable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was totally like, this mechanic is a liability. Like,
yeah.
So again,
if you're relying on the one person for the taunt, that can go south very quickly.
But also on the right team, I imagine it's going to be super annoying. Like on the Qui-Gon Jinn team.
Yeah.
Did you see how that's going to go? Because it's like, oh, you got rid of it. Oh, but guess who's getting it back? Like, you know?
Yeah.
And I know you want to try and kill JKA, but you know, every time you attack him, guess who's like taunting again, quote unquote, you know? So
I faced a Qui-Gon last round and I took in Jedi Knight Revan, Jedi Knight Luke. And I was like, cool. So I'm going to stun everyone. Then I'm going to mark Qui-Gon. He's going to die. And then I'm going to kill Jedi Knight. Like, totally same thing, space. And I was like, cool. So I do this. And then I go, I'm like, oh, you are doing your stupid little taunt thing. And now Anakin is going to kill me.
I wonder if it's going to affect that Bad Batch counter. I really want to see that. And so was that what you were doing, Sarah? Is that what you're saying? You're doing the Bad Batch counter?
No, I was doing Jedi Knight Revan, Jedi Knight Luke. Okay, so because I had used my mark on Qui-Gon to kill him after I did the AoE stun, I was like, okay, I don't have mark now to get around Mace. So I had to kill Mace and then circle back. And it went, it was recoverable, but it was sloppy.
This is gonna complicate things. It's interesting.
I was like, this is a little bit less stable than I would like.
And they specifically said we are going to see this mechanic again on future tunes. So I was kind of wondering if we might see it on an Inquisitor, we might get another tank Inquisitor, a pseudo tank Inquisitor that might bring it up or something, just because that's what's being released right now. But I think it's kind of an exciting new mechanic that I do look forward to seeing on other tunes. So
if it's a buff, can Yoda steal it?
I don't know where that says it can't be, I don't think.
Does it say it can't? I can't remember if it said that it couldn't be copied.
Let me look.
Yeah.
I have mine here.
Just curious.
I don't remember if it can be. I feel like it says it can't be copied or dispelled.
Okay.
But
yeah, let me. Feels like it, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'll look here real quick.
It just randomly popped into my brain.
That doesn't specify. It says, let's see here. Resilient. Just says resilient defense enemies will target this unit, lose one stack when damaged.
Well, that was, I don't want my GMY.
Yeah, I don't want to steal that.
No, I'm just curious. But like, if you almost always you do his little bouncy special and he steals everything, and if it can be stolen, you're not going to want to do it.
Or he spreads it and now everyone's a tank.
You get a taunt.
We're all taunting, no one's taunting.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if everyone's taunting,
it wouldn't really be an issue taunting. If he steals it, quite frankly. Yeah, so it'd just still be the same.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's actually interesting. Yeah, it doesn't specify.
Just curious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, time to do a test.
right. Next video, right?
That'd be terrifying. Yeah. All right, everyone's taunting. Good luck. Have fun.
Oh, man.
I'm going to ask somebody in my shard to put Mace down.
Yeah.
See if you can steal it, because that would be wild.
I'm curious if you can steal it.
Those were my initial thoughts. I'm glad that they brought up Mace's viability also with Starkiller, because now you'll have a way to gain back protection on that team, which I know you like pull the Star Destroyer down and like everyone gets full health and protection, but I feel like this will give you like just a little bit more security, like getting to that move, you know, because sometimes like I feel like you can lose tunes and it can kind of go south. So not that I know. I don't have him yet. It's just from what I've seen. So yeah, so that'd be really interesting. It's going to be so, that's the coolest thing about his rework is that he unreworked, he was being used so many places. As Sarah was talking about on the last H&N episode, you use him all over the place.
I use Mace all over the place.
It's actually good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's really cool. Hashtag rework Kit Fisto.
I'm also trying to see if, because, you know, the other person that would, not that you would ever really like put them together, but Fulcrum, Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum, because she steals all non-unique buffs from all allies. Now, of course, you would dispel it effectively the next turn, but
I guess
what they're rolling. Yeah. So, I mean, you wouldn't really like keep it on, but I mean, that's an opportunity where you could be like, oh my goodness. all right, we're taunting now. All right. Actually, I can test it that way. You know what? I'm just going to do it real quick.
We'll find out.
I got my relic fulcrum for whatever reason over here.
For funsies.
Yeah, we'll see if that works.
Okay, you have relic fulcrum. Nice.
I do, actually. Yeah, I have a relic. What do we have? Relic 5. Relic 5 fulcrum. Man. That was my one like passion just for fun.
That's another tune that, again, that she could use a touch-up.
Yes.
The kit is great. It just isn't quite, but it's just missing that one little, I don't know what it is, but you know, she could go from like obsolete where she is now to like used everywhere, you know, like so easily with probably just like a little tweak. So yeah, because her kit is good. It's just not quite right there. I get call back to you guys. Any other thoughts on the road ahead?
Nothing for me.
Okay. No. Okay. I don't think so.
So Grit, how's your mega fortress?
The name sounds like a printer, dude. I just throw cannon on in front of it and you'd believe it's a printer, I'm sure.
It's true.
But there was actually such a fun, another funny moment from your developer interview where you kept calling it a mega fortress.
Yeah, mega
fortress. From had to correct you that it's a star fortress.
I will throw Heinze under the bus. That was how the question was prepared for me. So I'm blaming him.
I had to prod you a little bit on your mega fortress.
I've not leveled mine up. It's like 2-star. Echelon's dope. I love the enchilada.
But... 3-star with Star Fortress.
Star Fortress, I think I got to 4.
4, okay.
Echelon, I had the worst drop rates.
Oh, it was the Echelon. Okay, I got this. Yeah.
I was real mad.
Yeah, I got really great drop rate with Star Fortress. I was doing the 200 refreshes because I knew I would need to get there for the 5-star. Got there easily for the Star Fortress for the 5-star using those refreshes. For the Type Echelon, though, I actually on the last day had to do 2 400 refreshes to get the 5-star. So I know, but it's like I'm so close. So why not get there? Because the thing is, like, the viability with that Type Echelon, like the 5-star unlocks, like its final tier on the reinforcement ability, which is like the one that does stuff, you know, important. So I kind of wanted to get there. And so I got both of those at 5-star. Star Fortress is still utter trash. I haven't really used it much at all. At 5-stars, it's just not viable to be tanky enough for like what you may or may not be using your Holdo fleet with, which for me is like cleanup of Executor. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still slotting Sunfac in that tank spot for, you know, with my resistance team. But the Tuck Echelon, oh my god, I have only really used it once, and I used it in a TW to, because I was like, you know, I heard it can take out a Negotiator, let me try, like I don't expect this to win, and I won. I was like thrilled. I was like, I can't nice. believe, like, my first order took out a Negotiator team, like it was, and it, yeah. It wasn't really like white knuckled as I thought it would be, like, because I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was just like, man, if I can get this consistent total game changer, that would be amazing. I mean, still, it's still 5-star, but you know, I'll take it up more for, you know, all of that happening. I was really pleased.
Yeah
the Thai enchilada there is freaking awesome. Been using it. I actually had even minimal, like, non-reliable, let's be honest, non-reliable success, but success nonetheless. Even at 4-star beating Executor. Nice. 7-star, I mean, I would not say like go do it, you guys are gonna do fine, but like it happened, you know. And then I've had very unreliable success with it even at 7-star with literally a relic 8 first order officer, and so I'm just like, I don't know what's happening at this point. What is going on? That ship is awesome. And immediately, because, like, I mean, Resistance is an interesting fleet. Holdo, it's an interesting fleet. I feel like it's still on the realm of, like, kind of like cleanup territory, you know, where you can just like maybe kill you know, the enemy capital ship and call it a day. But that Echelon is absolutely incredible.
I can't wait to get it up so I can start using that reliably instead of the Malevolence counter, because yeah, as of that AI, like, if you know, it just seems like with the new AI, like, if you, when you bring in a spy and if you get the taunt on Razor Crest, like, it's a, it's like impossible to win, because you just, you're not going to get the Razor Crest down. The Razor Crest is going to get healed, and you're not going to make the headway you need to make to, like, even get that team in a reasonable place for, like, getting a win. Or even like the cleanup is like much more difficult than like I was experiencing before.
Yeah, it's a really awesome fleet. I mean, I've always had a soft spot for the first order. That's why I went for SLKR first. That was my first GL. I really liked being able to use that fleet. I mean, if you guys remember the very brief moment where the Finalizer could beat Executor when it first came out, that was super cool. I loved it. And so I'm kind of excited that there's, you know, the possibility again of being able to do that. And it's not as reliable as I want it to be. Not just like a do this, and you win. But you at least almost guarantee you are killing Xanadu. That's in all of my testing. I've done probably like 50 battles at this point. I'm probably 100%. You always kill Xanadu. And I've gone up against Relic 9 Cad Banes. Oh, and it made no difference.
Yeah.
Which was nice, because even at worst, I had a 100% success rate of at least killing Xanadu, which... sometimes you can't even say that with the Malevolent. So, I mean, like, at worst, if you're stretched, man, like, hey, throw in the first order, go kill at least Xanadu, and then follow it up with your Malevolence or something like that. So, really, really powerful ship. I really like that Echelon. I thought that was a really cool addition. That's addition. I think that's a a good example of a pretty simple kit that can make a big change. Range Trooper is another one of those relatively simple kit. It just makes a really cool change, a really big difference. So,
yeah, it certainly opens more doors on that counter, which I'm really happy about. And then, it almost seems like, they made that buff to like almost reduce the, you know, win percentage of the Malevolence counter to really like, you know, incentivize going for the echelon and, you know, building your first order fleet, you know, as a better counter in that case. But I would like to start my petition now to unrework this AI change on
we're gonna see how much we can bully the developers.
Like, you undo the work you've done. Thank you.
That AI change hurt the soul.
Yeah. So I think everyone's kind of ready for
so sick of ships.
I hate ships. Oh my god.
Okay, that's enough of ships. We're
moving on. Move along.
The Thai enchilada in the mega fortress.
It's not gonna die.
One thing I wanted to end on before we get out of here, you know, you teach, we are all about the tips, tricks, and, you know, game breakdowns. And on the Gridzy session, the last one, not the one with the developers, you guys encountered something that I'm encountering a lot, and I have not been playing properly, and I learned I wasn't playing it properly because Gridden had an amazing breakdown of how to do a palp mirror. Now, the palp mirror is essentially somewhat easy because you can palp on offense, can basically solo a 5 palp team on defense.
Yeah.
You know, I bring in my armor just for that extra incentive and to like get it. But the ones that I've been doing have been like white knuckle all the way because I'm not playing it right. And Gridden, do you want to break it down a little bit on like how to properly play that like palp mirror?
Absolutely. C is a very interesting galactic legend. And the most easily exploitable fact of his kit is he normally relies on there being at least 2 people to be able to link. His ultimate thrives off of that. And that's why all the solos work. You know, that's why SLKR can stomp him. That's why Ray can do it. And that's why C mirrors can work. Where the C mirrors get weird, even if you bring in, like I tend to use Watt, if you bring in armor, if you bring in that secondary, you know, supplement character that helps you get the W.
Or even if you bring in someone with like a heal block.
Yes.
Like, because you think, we'll block him so he can't recover something, right? But
yeah.
Protection does not care about your heal block.
Exactly. And one thing that I noticed, that last week when we were talking about it, a lot of people were throwing out, you know, some of the other guests, not to put anybody on blast, they were saying this stuff. And I was like, whoa, time out. No, pause. No, stop. You know, and they're like, relink, do this thing over here. And there's a couple of very important things that you need to bear in mind when you're doing those C mirror matches. You have to link C first. You need to get the enemy C linked, because even if you go into your ultimate, you might break through, you know, the opponent C's protection. You might still get the win. Like you're saying, it like comes down to the wire. Like you just throw it on auto and you're just like, please, it might work. To avoid that completely, if you link the first character, whoever it is, most likely it's going to be a pre-taunt. You will then go and link C. And you have to wait until his protection is either all the way gone or just about gone. So like if it's where it's just like, you know, like 4 little bars, so it's like, you know, 1,000 protection, it doesn't matter. But if you leave him with enough protection, even though C has a very low protection pool, like most are going to be in the ballpark range of like 50 to like 60,000 like tops, he won't go into his ultimate because you have a solo C. So he's going to sit there regenerating that protection little by little by little by little, and you won't be able to whittle through it and get through his health and then get back to through the protection, then back through the health. And so you want to use that first link on the whatever the pre-taunt is, and then C, and then wait until his protection is gone, because then you are guaranteed to win like a one-on-one with the enemy see, because you will then
gets the shock at that point, all of a sudden now he's not regenerating. Yep. That's where the real win condition is, because that's exactly what I thought. Like, oh, I'm going into alt now, he's gonna get shocked, easy peasy done. And then it's like, wait, stop protection back, stop. Yeah. I need to kill, like,
stop. Oh.
Watching, like, the time like tick down, you're like, god damn it.
Yeah, exactly. And another one that can actually really mess with you sometimes will be Treya. If somebody does Treya, mm-hmm, with the Sith Triumvirate, if she happens to put that bonus protection on the C, bonus protection, as we all know, is based off of your max health. And so he gets that fat protection bar, bonus protection bar. And so that one can really throw you for a loop as well. So yeah, those are the first things that I do, will always be linking somebody and then C and waiting until his protection is gone before I pop my ultimate. And then the second one is, if you can, sure, go ahead and relink somebody. But this happened last week, and this is why I got so, like, in Heinz's face about it, was you have to watch if your C has deceived. If you are deceived, you cannot target the enemy C. And so he was like, oh no, go for the link and just relink and then relink somebody else. I was like, no, because you're deceived. You have to get rid of C's protection first. So if you were to relink, you wouldn't be able to target him. And then his protection is going to be there. And then you'll pop the ultimate, and then you won't kill him anyways. And so those are a couple of things that you keep an eye out for. If you're deceived, if you are going to go for a relink, be careful of deceived. If you're not, just what I always do is I just link somebody and I link C, and then I just wait. And as soon as that protection bar is gone, pop the ult, and then you're good to go. So it's one of those interesting aspects that, because so many people, especially C on defense in general, I feel like a lot of people rag on C on defense, which is understandable. You know, Wampa can beat it. You can be soloed by a lot of stuff. Outside of that, though, he's a pretty formidable tune on defense. And so some people will be like, I'll just C mirror it, you're fine. And then like me, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, yeah, this is easy. And I'm like, Otto, save me.
Yeah.
And then I ended up losing because I didn't I relinked too early, and I didn't wait for his protection to be gone. I couldn't get through him. So it can be trickier than some people like to make it out to be.
Yeah, a lot of people now are putting like LV and C on D, which can be a bit of a puzzle to more difficult puzzle to like untangle when both of those are on D, just in terms of diffusing both of them. But yeah, so for me, like my preconceived notion, don't do this, don't follow this, was just like, oh, well, if I'm going in solo, you know, or with one other tune like the armor, I'm going to be regenerating because I have Beskar armor. He won't be regenerating necessarily because he doesn't have the armor, but then, you know, I'm going to be able to get to my ult because everyone else is going to be taking turns, and he won't get to ult, and that's my win condition. I get to ult and he doesn't. But then
yes,
what happened was like, that's not the win condition, because I would kill the whole team except for him. But the thing was, as I was linking to it, I was ignoring him. I was like, let me just take them out. I'll focus on the third, kill the other two. Then when I get to ult, I'll pop them, and then I'll focus on C. And then it was just like a regeneration race.
Yeah.
And it was not fun. And like,
stressful.
Like I was able to like ramp up fast enough, you know, because I had the ult sooner. You know, the only thing that saved me was that like, the other C finally got to ult, and
oh,
like,
really?
I was finally able to
take
him out because he didn't have like the, you know, the full protection regeneration move anymore.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's wild.
Yeah. It was such a nail biter. And so then I was like, I'm not doing this again. But then, and then you said that, I was like, oh no, I will. I'm just an idiot.
You're mad. Yeah, that's it's people like to make it seem so much easier than it's like, yeah, just go do it and you're fine. You're like, hey, you can mess this up. It's okay. You can. It can be messed up. I've done it. A lot of people have done it. Mm-hmm. Another like potential thing that you can do, just like a third tip. And this actually originally was used to C to beat Basti JMLs, because a lot of people would be like, oh, Basti JML is a potential timeout for C. And the way that you get around that is you put it on basic auto and you let it run for like 3 or 4 minutes, and then you pop the ult, because his ult, it's a little part in there. He doubles his current mastery. and he stacks his mastery the entire time. Whenever, I think it's anytime a deceived or a linked enemy uses an ability, his mastery is increasing. And so that's another thing you could do. If you started that match, link up C, auto basic for a while or something like that. Let it roll for a few minutes and then then pop your ult. Then you would have enough damage to blitz through his through any type of protection recovery that he has. Mm-hmm. So that one, that's a third little tip that you can sneak in there that can work for you, but then it just takes longer and it could still kind of go south on you if you don't have like a high enough offense or something. But that's another like kind of trick, but really just link him, wait till the protection's gone, and then you're golden.
And I've never really done the, because it's my understanding that the C can solo that JML comp with Bastila. And is that the same strategy? You probably have to link JML and hold that link on him until his protection is gone.
Well, so the problem then, if you're doing Basti JML with Watt, the protection tank tech actually recovers the bonus protection. So any character, like it says protection, but apparently that also includes bonus protection.
So he won't even drop it off.
He will not drop protection whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that's why you normally time out. A lot of people will think, I'm just going to get rid of his protection. Well, it doesn't count because it's bonus protection. He's regenerating way too much to blitz through. Yeah. And so that's why people are like, no,
hold that ult.
Yeah. Don't do C versus JML. It's like, no, you're okay. Just link basic auto literally for 3 minutes, let your mastery stack up, pop the ult, and then all of a sudden you're going to be doing 160,000 damage, and then you'll blip through his bonus protection in a few moves.
Love it.
That's so another one. Yeah.
Tips. Oh, so good. Yeah. Okay, I'm actually really excited to run into those. I'm sure I won't see them for a while now.
I know what to do. And then everyone's like, yeah, don't put C on defense. Yeah, like, no.
Yeah, well, it's so funny. Like, I do good, which I'm sure everyone is experiencing this. You know, you do good enough in GA, you go up. Like, I keep getting up into the 2000s, and then half the time I get ranked into the 2000s, and then I just play terribly. When it's like, I can win, I know I can win this, I can beat this person. But yeah, it's just been so, I've been trying so hard and not, haven't really seen the results quite yet. But yeah, I keep just going between like 3,500 and 2,500, just bouncing.
Yeah.
Like in those rankings. So
yeah, that's
yeah, poor Sarah keeps bouncing between Kyber 1 and Kyber 2.
I might get squished. I don't know if I would get squished back to Kyber 2. We'll see. I went up to 3679. So I don't think I can fall out of Kyber 1. Maybe. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I did the hotbot compare, and I'm not exaggerating. I have 4 green squares. I was like, this is gonna be real bumpy.
Yeah, we'll keep it generic just for, you know, whatever safety purposes and stuff. Yeah. But there is my alt account that I run. It's at 77. It's a really efficient account. So it's 7-7, 6 GL, Starkiller, the whole works. So it's really fun, but absolutely terrifying because every single bracket that I've been in has, I mean, like last week's bracket, the next closest GP was 9-2.
Oh,
I was going up against 10-8s. Mm-hmm. At a 7-7 mil GP, and I was like, oh my god. I mean, we won, but I was like, dude, this is brutal. Like, this current bracket, there's only one other person who is sub 8 mil. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is 8-9, 8-4, 9-9, 8-6, 8-6, 9-7-7. So I'm like, oh my god. Yeah. Like, wow, we are hugely outmatched here. Like, Zeta's is like 120 to like 200 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Relic units is 700 to let's hear total relics. Yeah, 700 to this guy's got over 1,000. Like, I'm just hugely outmatched. They're super satisfying to win, but like, absolutely brutal brackets.
Yeah, my current opponent's like in the sevens. I just passed 8 million GPs. That's kind of exciting.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. And
we are close, by the way. We we got some real opportunity to meet up.
Dude, yeah, there's still like 20 people at like each, you know, point, so it's kind of hard to do that. But yeah, like there's a couple of people in my guild who are really close too that like we keep track, you know, we're just like waiting for, you know, the right wins and losses to kind of even out that we'll meet each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like the first opponent I've had in a while that doesn't have like 500,000 more GP and he has like one less GL, so it's just like, what is happening here? And I know I'm probably gonna lose, like I'm just like, you're just assuming you're gonna beat this guy, and like I'm sure he's here for a reason, and
those are the ones that you got to be scared of.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like
if you're all in the eight out. Mils and this dude sneaks in, he's got like six mil, you're like, oh,
uh-oh.
Whoa. Watch out. Yeah
so we'll see what happens, but that's great. Okay, well guys, we did it. That was you know, it's so funny when we start these things and I just look at a tiny show sheet and I'm just like, oh man, we're just going to burn through this. We're not going to have enough content. And then 2.5 hours later, you know, it's like, I should have cut back. I'm glad we covered everything we did. This was a great time.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you give me like any, I talk so much. It is such a problem. I just talk and talk. I mean, right now, like, what am I even talking about? I'm just going, you know, like you
talk about talking.
It is Mike.
Dude, I'm talking about talking. Yeah, I'm here. I'll do it.
No. This has been the Grinzy UTH.
Ooh. I'll just mute myself for you guys. Oh, man. Oh, it's bad. So thank you so much for having me on. This was an immense pleasure. It's always awesome to meet new people and figure out other people's experiences with Swiggo. It's super fun. It's really interesting. The game is has such a unique way of, even though like generally speaking, things are mostly the same for a lot of us, because you're 8 million GP. I'm 7.8. Sarah, what's your GP?
7.8.
We're all effectively the same GP. Yeah. We're pretty dang close when it comes to rosters. Like we have most of the same stuff. We're going against relatively similar players, and we all have different experiences from GAC to GAC and from, you know, my roster to your roster to your roster. And somehow everything is like so similar and like so different at the same time. And it's really fun to hear other people's experiences on it. And so this is an absolute blast. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm sorry I talked for 2 hours. So if you don't have me back on, I don't blame you.
Forgive
me like one question.
the listeners always ask if it's over 2 hours and they get sad when it's not.
Oh, perfect. Okay. This is great then. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, all right, you know, today's guest, we have Gridden. And you're like, okay. And you're like, how you doing? Well, 2 hours later. So thank you so much for having me on. It was a huge pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. This has been great. Definitely we'll have you on again. Yeah, you'll be a go-to guest. Yeah, when we need someone probably in a pinch, or just
I'd love to
discuss, you know, the things that are happening in the game. I try really hard not to cover any news stuff here, because you know Sarah has HNN with that, but certainly this road ahead was worth covering, and
not big stuff.
It's great to get you in on that, and it just overlaps so much with the Grinzy.
It's perfect. Perfect
section.
Opportunity.
That's fantastic. Before we get out of here, I did just want to again pitch listeners, if you made it to the end, I just want to again pitch that you join our Discord and look out for my post. I want you on our podcast. We're going to have a ton of fun together. Like, get your sauciest hot takes, the fieriest opinions. I want to hear them. I want to talk about them. Let's get you on here and let's...
Rose Omicron is worth it. Hashtag worth it.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. We're out of time.
My mic's getting cut again. Like,
Oh, no more podcasts here. This is it. And with that, everyone, it is time to
go switch off.